Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I am Fahim. I am 14 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm 17, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm 17, and I'm also from Hudson.
Everyone's from Hudson, and we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we enjoy.
Bookish things.
All that good stuff. And today we are recording from the Hudson Area Library. Hooray! We're all together. Woo. And we're going to talk about some of the books we've been reading recently. So, who wants to start us off? How about Mashuda?
Yay! I read The Hate U Give. It's a very interesting novel written by Angie Thomas. It's about a 16-year-old Star Carter. She lives in a poor neighborhood, but she goes to prep school. So she basically lives two different worlds. Coming home, it's poor, unable to feed her hunger, and just looking through other kids her age that is going through bad stuff. And she sees a policeman shooting her best friend. Khalil. And then now she always sees injustice in front of her, but then seeing her best friend getting killed just breaks her, and now she's fighting for what's right. And also how the author narrates the story, it's very interesting. The author, she uses rhetorical question, and so the reader just understands, basically when you read it, you just feel like you're in it. I'm not finished with it yet, but I'm excited how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, I've read this book as well, and I found it very powerful. And I think Angie Thomas did a good job of showing the sort of two worlds that she lives in and how she has to chooses to shift her way of being between these two worlds. And, when you're a teen, you're sort of still developing a sense of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And what's important to you and how you interact with the world. And so having that shift is a real challenge. And then when she goes through this traumatic experience, that really brings a lot of that to light.
I believe this is one of our book battle books this year, too. I can't wait to read it. I have it at my house along with all the other book battle books.
I like that the struggle she's facing, she's just herself. She every day she has to collide with two different world. I just like that she, she's just herself, even with, the friends she makes with other prep school, the rich kids and the poor kids. She's just herself,
Angie Thomas also does a good job of being even though back home they're struggling to make ends meet and have a lot of challenges there and not everything is good back home, there's also very good things about her home life and her neighborhood and her friends there. And then vice versa, at the sort of fancier school that she goes to, there's both good and bad in that, no place is perfect. She has good friends in both worlds and challenges in both worlds. So it's really good. I'm glad it's a battle book. Well, thanks for sharing that one. Why don't we skip over to Amelia next?
I'm talking about the 12th book of Wings of Fire called The Hive Queen by Tui T. Sutherland, which takes place on the second continent in the series. So there are three new kinds of dragons, wasp-like ones, which are hive wings, butterfly-like ones called silk wings, and then tree ones called leaf wings. And basically, the next series, these past two books, have taken on a more of less fantasy and magic and more almost dystopian-like, because one of the tribes rules over another tribe. One of the tribes doesn't have a queen because they're ruled by the other one, and they're basically suppressed by the upper species of dragon. And it's really interesting because after the past 10 books focused only on fantasy and stuff, it's still fantasy, but there's also a little bit of an overlapping of genres. But I still get dragons, so it's good. It's very good. It's hard to talk about it because there's so much context leading up to it since it's the 12th book, but all I can say is that it is very good.
Yeah, for this series, could someone just dive into a new book, or do you think they would have to start from the beginning to get something out of it?
They'd have to start from the beginning. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say because I've been with the books from the beginning, but I think maybe if you really wanted to, you could probably start at the beginning of this series. You could start in the, hold on. This is the first book to come with a list of books. 2 in the front so I can actually look back and remember. If you just dived into book 11, which is The Lost Continent, you could probably understand, like, a bit. You might have to do a bit of Googling, but, like, you could understand the story that's currently going on at the very least. But yeah, and chronologically, the very first book is technically an extra edition called Darkstalker, which is really good, whether you've read the other books or not. So that could be a standalone, too.
I'm fascinated by this cover because there's like an interesting world. It looks like a city, which I kind of pictured with books that the main characters are all dragons, that there wouldn't be like buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's like tents and lights. And then also it looks like the dragon is wearing glasses, which is interesting.
She is, and it's adorable. But yeah, the cover art for all these books are very gorgeous, especially if you look at the background. There's always things going on in the background. Since it's not the cover of the book, you could fold out the entire cover and see everything from front to back if you took the cover off. So it is very beautiful. I love the cover art on these books.
Mm-hmm. I know that's one of your favorite series. Ooh, Mashuda has a question.
The entire series, like, I haven't read any of them. So, like, in the book, are they done with the story or they continue in different series?
It's almost like arcs. Like, the first arc, air quotes, would be the Dragonette Prophecy, which is the first 5 books. And then after that, there's another 5 books, which can be considered, like, the Darkstalker arc, which can't really be explained without, like, spoiling stuff. And it was during that second set of 5 that the Legends, like, standalone book was made that could be read as a standalone. And now I'd say we're in the middle of, like, the third arc, which is the new continent and the new species of dragons. So, yeah, and they are a whole series of books, but they are, like, divided up into stories.
Starting with one book and going in the same story, or? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's hard to describe because, yeah, the first 5 definitely are their own story and there's a solid conclusion. You could stop reading there, but then you get 5 more that could also be read as just a story. And technically you could stop reading there too if you really didn't want to, but they all continue into each other. Like the same characters will always pop up and certain information will be important from story to story.
So if you just randomly start with the 8 book instead of reading would you get confused or...
Yeah, you definitely get confused. It's not as complicated as a series like Warriors, where like it almost like overstayed its welcome, it seemed like. The book started like dropping in quality a bit in the writing. I'd say it hasn't done that yet, but there is a lot of details you kind of sometimes have to remember.
Awesome. So check out Wings of Fire, book 1, I guess, if you haven't read book 1. Or you can dive into book 11, which I forget the title, but
not book 11.
Lost Continent?
Standalone. Oh, yeah, book 11, Lost Continent. You could dive into that. Or you could dive into the standalone book, Darkstalker, which is my favorite, so.
But this was Hive Queen, so if you didn't realize, book 12 is out. Go and get it.
You could also read the comics if you wanted to, because they're awesome. But there are only 2 out as of now.
And then you get all the pretty pictures. Yay! Dragon pictures. So I know Fahim actually has a comic to talk about.
I read The Battling Boy by Paul Pope. It's about this teenager, and his father is a warrior, and every teenager of this land has to go to a different planet and save the planet. If they die in the planet, then they failed and they will not get resurrected or something like that. So he gets all these shirts that have like pictures of animals and everything. Whenever he wears them, he turns into these animals and fights these monsters who eat children. That's basically it. And you have to read the book to find out if he survives or not.
I love Battling Boy. That's one of my favorite comics. The downside to Battling Boy is that there's a cliffhanger and there's no sequel.
Oh, no.
The worst. Come on, Paul Pope. Make it happen.
So it's not series like Wings of Fire. Oh.
But there are 2 prequels.
Ooh.
So there is Battling Boy, and then they made 2 prequels about a different character, not Battling Boy, but Aurora West. Yeah. So if you read Battling Boy and you want more, you could read the prequels, but... For now, you have to imagine what happens next.
Yeah, it doesn't really resolve that cliffhanger, but at least you got something.
True, true. And maybe someday, Paul Pope will make all my dreams come true and make a next Battling Boy.
How long has it been since the first one came out? I was like, do you think he's not going to make a sequel?
I think probably not.
No.
I still hold out hope, but I don't think. It's been a while. I forget when the first one was published, but it's been a while. But it's great. I still think it's worth a read. You could make your own sequel to it.
Yeah, that's true.
in your head or in actuality, like you, if you can draw. You can make stick figure battling boy sequel.
Yeah, Fahim can actually draw.
That's cool.
We have at least two artists. I don't know about Mashuda. Are you an artist?
I'm a painter.
Ah.
I'm not an artist.
Painters are artists. Just saying. So I also read a comic this week, or a graphic novel. And it's a graphic novel memoir by Tilly Walden called Spinning. And I had heard great things about this and had wanted to read it for a long time and just never got around to it. And for some reason, I always thought it was about dance, but it's about ice dancing, more specifically figure skating. But the cover has all these young ladies with their arms outstretched and these little skirts. And I always thought they were ballerinas whenever I saw the cover at a quick glance, but they have figure skates on. So it's about Tilly Walden's experience growing up, and both like her life experiences and her experiences in school, but it centers on her experience as a ice skater. And she was a very serious ice skater throughout all of her school years. You know, she'd wake up at like 4 a.m. to go to her early ice skating practice. And then after school, she would go to more skating practice. And it took over her life in a way, the skating. And she had sort of a interesting relationship with skating where she sometimes loved it. And she was very interested in winning and like really wanted to do well, but also kind of hated it at the same time. So it talks about that. And she both did sort of solo figure skating, but she also did synchro skating, which I'd never heard of, where there's a team of skaters that do sort of a synchronized ice skating routine. They dance together on the ice. Oh. And it's not just like, I've seen doubles, but I've never seen a group skating competition. So that was new. But it's a very, I think her artwork is very beautiful. It's primarily in two colors, sort of purplish navy color and white, but then she incorporates yellow at times as well. But yeah, it was a very nice read, and it makes me want to read more by her. And her other works are not autobiographical. The main one that I want to read is called On a Sunbeam, and it's a sci-fi outer space kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Really, so have to start reading comic books, because I feel like I'm the only one that don't read it. I really should, though. It sounds interesting.
These past few days, these past few shows, we've been talking a lot about, like, nonfiction comic books, and, like, it reminded me of one. Have any of you ever heard of the musical Fun Home?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's based off the comic that this girl wrote, and I could have gotten it after at the gift shop, but I think it was sold out, so I couldn't after I actually saw Fun Home. It's a devastating show, and it's a really sad book, too, but it's so good.
Yeah, that's by Alison Bechdel, and she has a couple graphic novel memoirs. That's her most famous one. Mm. Yeah, but the show was fun.
Yeah, it had some good show. It had some good music. It was sad.
Yeah.
Ring of Keys is my favorite song, though. I have a shirt with a rainbow Ring of Keys on it from the gift shop, where I did get something from there. But it was such a good song.
Yeah. So for Fahim and Amelia, and I guess myself too, what graphic novel would you suggest for Mashuda to read first or next?
Nimona.
Nimona is pretty awesome, by Noel Stevenson. I think you'd like that one. How about you, Fahim?
The Bailing Boy.
Yes. Also a great one. I'm going to pick a different one. Let's see. I'm trying to think what kind of books you like. Can you describe what kind of books you like to read?
Mystery, fantasy, drama.
How about, let's see, maybe Paper Girls, that series by Brian K. Vaughan. That might be fun. It's got a little bit of all of that.
Does it have to do with high school? The name sounds like it.
It doesn't really have to do with high school, but the characters are high schoolers. But they're all paper girls, like they deliver newspapers. And something crazy happens, and then they go end up on this adventure together. It's very fun.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, so highly suggested. But also, Spinning by Tilly Walden's pretty great. So, and Nimona and Battling Boy, can't go wrong with those. Mm. So we have a little bit more time. I thought we could share 4 books that are recent releases that you could check out and read if you so choose. So we'll start with Fahim.
This book is called In the Neighborhood of True by Susan Kaplan Carlton. After her father's death, Ruth, Rob, and her family transplant themselves in the summer of 1958 from New York City to Atlanta, the land of sweet tea and the Ku Klux Klan. In her new hometown, Ruth quickly figures out she can be Jewish or she can be popular, but she can be both. Eager to fit in with the blonde girls in the pastel pose, Ru decides to hide a religion. Before she knows it, she is falling for the handsome and charming Davis and sipping cokes with him and his friends at the all-white, all-Christian club. Doesn't matter that Ru's mother makes her attend services at the Loyal Synagogue every week, not as long as nobody outside her family knows the truth. At temple, Ru meets Max, who is serious and intense about the fight for social justice, and now she is caught between two worlds, two religions, and two boys. But when a violent hate crime brings the different parts of Ru's life into sharp conflict, she will have to choose between all she's come to love about her new life and standing up for what she believes.
And next up, we have Mashuda.
Dig is by A.S. King, which was previous Belle of the Book as the passenger, the author. The Shoveler, the Freak, Can I Help You? Loretta, the Flea, Circus Ring Mistress, and First Class Malcolm. These are the five teenagers lost in the Hemmings family's maze of tangled secrets. Only a generation removed from being simple Pennsylvania potato farmers, Gut Fried and Marla Hemmings managed to trade diggings, spuds for developing subdivisions, and now sit atop a seven-figure bank account. Well, they have declined to pass on to their adult children or their teenage grandchildren. Because we want them to thrive, Marla always says. What does thriving look like? Like carrying a snow shovel everywhere. Like selling pot at Arby's drive-thru window. Like a first-class ticket to Jamaica between cancer treatments. Like a flea circus in a double wide. Like the GPS coordinates to a mound of dirt in a New Jersey forest. As the road just beneath the surface of the Hemmings, white suburban respectively begins to spread. The far-flung grandchildren gradually find their ways back to each other, just in time to uncover the terrible cost of maintaining the family name. It's Dig by A.S. King.
I have here The Last Voyage of Poe Blythe by Ali Condi. Says, who do you become when you have nothing left to lose? There is something Poe Blythe, the 17-year-old captain of the outpost's last mining ship, wants far more than the gold they tear from the Serpentine River. Revenge. Poe has vowed to annihilate the river raiders who robbed her of everything 2 years ago. But as she navigates the treacherous waters of the Serpentine and realizes there might be a traitor amongst her crew, she must also reckon with who she has become, who she wants to be, and the ways love can change and shape you, even and especially when you think all is lost.
Ooh. And I have The Line Tender by Kate Allen. The Line Tender is the story of Lucy, the daughter of a marine biologist and a rescue diver, and the summer that changes her life. If she ever wants to lift the cloud of grief over her family and community, she must complete the research her late mother began. She must follow the sharks. Wherever the sharks led, Lucy Everhart's marine biologist mother was sure to follow. In fact, she was on a boat far off the coast of Massachusetts preparing to swim with a great white when she died suddenly. Lucy was 8. Since then, Lucy and her father have done okay, thanks in large part to her best friend Fred and a few close friends and neighbors. But June of her 12th summer brings more than the end of school and a heat wave to sleepy Rockport. On one steamy day, the tide brings a great white. And then another tragedy, cutting short a friendship everyone insists was, quote, meaningful. But no one can tell Lucy what it all meant. To survive the fresh wave of grief, Lucy must grab the line that connects her depressed father, a stubborn fisherman, and a curious old widower to her mother's unfinished research. If Lucy can find a way to help this unlikely quartet follow the sharks that her mother loved, she'll finally be able to look beyond what she's lost and towards what's left to be discovered. Mm. All right, so those are four recent releases that, if you think sound interesting, you can check out and read. And if you read them and you like them, or if you don't like them, feel free to share a review with us and we can share it on the radio. So we're going to break for some music right now. If you're tuning in on Sunday, or to our podcast, stay tuned for a little bit more after the music. If you're listening Friday, this is it for this week. So we hope you have a good week. Read lots of good books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Desde que te pareciste de repente todo parece brillar. Todas estas melodías no decían nada y ahora dicen más. Ahora dice más. Todo todo lo que me importaba desde tu llegada no importa ya. Lo que parecía difícil ya no representa dificultad. Fluye con facilidad, pero me pongo a dudar. Me confundo y no distingo si está bien o si está mal. Si está bien, agradezco y te corresponderé. Si está mal, como nunca lloraré. Mientras tanto, presto todo por saber. Me gusta encontrar que existe en la vida esta posibilidad. De que todo se dé vuelta cuando no esperaba ya novedad. Y algo viene, algo se va.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. And we are all here, the whole Bound by Books crew, talking about books and such. And now we're going to share some poems because it is National Poetry Month and because we love poems. And these poems are all from Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, 100 Poems to Rip Out and Read, selected by Bruno Novaski. And then selected after that by us. So here we go. I got some poems for you.
The first poem is called Revival by Steve Crow. Snow is a wind falling and a continuous bead of climbs, loops, spirals, dips into the earth like white fireflies, wanting to land, finding a wind between the houses, diving like moths into their own light. So the one wonders if snow is a wing's long memory across winter.
I ask my mother to sing. She begins and my grandmother joins her. Mother and daughter sing like young girls. If my father were alive, he would play his accordion and sway like a boat. I have never been in Peking or the summer palace, nor stood on the great stone boat to watch the rain begin on Quan Ming Lake, the picnickers running away in the grass. But I love to hear it sung. How the water lilies fill with rain until they overturn, spilling water into water, then rock back and fill with more. Both women have begun to cry, but neither stops her song. It's by Lee Young Lee.
I have one called Moment by Hildegard Flanner. I saw a young deer standing among the languid ferns. Suddenly he ran, and his going was absolute, like the shattering of icicles in the wind. It's a small one. It's a short one.
That's pretty, though. I have an even shorter one.
Ooh.
Why not? So this is called One Day by Robert Creeley. One day after another. Perfect. They all fit. The shortest poem of them all. All right, now we have a longer one, it looks like.
Yeah, it's called The Trap by James Tett. Inside the old chair, I found another chair, although smaller. I like sitting in it better. Inside the chair, I found another chair, though smaller, and many times I felt good sitting in it. Inside that chair, I found another chair. It was smaller and seemed to be made just for me. Inside that chair, still another. It was very small, so small I could hardly get out of it. Inside that chair, I found yet another, and in that another, and another, until I was sitting in a chair so small it would be difficult to say I was sitting in a chair at all. I could not rise or fall, and no one could catch me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The trap.
How Poetry Comes to Me by Gary Snyder. It comes blundering over the boulders at night. It says, frightened outside the range of my campfire, I go to meet at the edge of the light.
I have a bit of a longer one now called Earthly Anecdote by Wallace Stevens. Every time the bucks went clattering over Oklahoma, a fire cat bristled in the way. Wherever they went clattering until they swerved in a swift circular line to the right because of the fire cat, or until they swerved in a swift circular line to the left because of the fire cat. The bucks clattered, the fire cat went leaping to the right, to the left, and bristled in the way. Later, the fire cat closed his bright eyes and slept.
What's a fire cat?
I don't know.
I'm very curious. All right, I have The Wild Cheese by James Tate. A head of cheese raised by wolves, or mushrooms, recently rolled into the village. It could neither talk nor walk upright. Small, snarling boys ran circles around it, and just as they began throwing stones, the mayor appeared and dispersed them. He took the poor, ignorant head of cheese home, and his wife scrubbed it all afternoon before cutting it with a knife and serving it after dinner. The guests were delighted and exclaimed far into the night, "That certainly was a wild cheese."
This one's called Premier by Charles Simic. This kid got so dirty playing in the ashes when they called him home, when they yelled his name over the ashes. It was a lump of ashes that answered. "Little lump of ashes," they said, "here's another lump of ashes for dinner to make you sleepy and make you grow strong."
My poem is Home to Roost by Kay Ryan. The chickens are circling and blooding out the day. The sun is bright, but the chickens are in their way. Yes, the sky is dark with chickens, dance with them. They turn and then they turn again. These are the chickens you let loose, one at a time and small, various breeds. Now they have come home to roost, all the same kind, at the same speed.
I like the sky is dark with chickens.
That might be my favorite line in anything I've ever read. Keeping with the farm animal theme, The White Horse by D.H. Lawrence. The youth walks up to the white horse to put its halter on, and the horse looks at him in silence. They are so silent, they are in another world.
Lovely. And for our last one today, we have a poem called Today by Frank O'Hara. Oh, kangaroos, sequins, chocolate sodas, you really are beautiful. Pearls, harmonicas, jujubes, aspirins, all the stuff they've always talked about, still makes a poem a surprise. These things are with us every day, even on beachheads and beers. They do have meaning. They're strong as rocks. Yay. So there's a sampling of poems for you from Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets. 100 poems to rip out and read. So we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.